Dembash. I'm Sarah Glynn for Media News, and today I want to talk about Palestine. There is little that can be said about Palestine that has not already been said. There are no words left to describe the horror of the images daily streamed from Gaza, the brutality of the Israeli government that is inflicting this horror, and the depraved callousness of the international politicians who are enabling it. We are living through an epoch-changing moment, but I want to talk here about its specific relevance to the Kurds and the Kurdish struggle, and why no Kurd can ever forget Palestine. Some of these reasons are universal ones, others are specifically Kurdish. The first reason is a simple one. The Palestinians of Gaza are undergoing a genocide, and nothing can ever justify that. Not morally, and not legally either. This genocide is being committed brazenly in the full view of the whole world, and with the complicity of international governments. Only the biggest of mass mobilizations can stop it. Second, the impacts of what is happening in Palestine will be of huge global importance. They are raising vital questions about the nature and feasibility of international law, and feeding into the changing balance of world power. The repeated exposure of Western, and especially American, hypocrisy will have international implications. Third, more specifically, Israel's attack on Gaza is having a direct effect on the balance of forces in the Middle East. What is happening in Palestine impacts every part of Kurdistan. In North and East Syria, Kurds fighting ISIS have a tactical alliance with the United States, an uncomfortable position to be in, and both have come under fire from pro-Iranian militias under the banner of the Axis of Resistance. In Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan is trying to present himself as the leading defender of the Palestinians, even while still trading with Israel and enabling the passage of over 40% of Israel's oil supplies that come from Azerbaijan. In Iraq, America's support for Israel is putting US forces under increasing pressure to leave the country. And in Iran, the regime is using Gaza to strengthen their position on the international stage and to present themselves as on the right side of history. All this is in addition to the serious danger of the fighting spreading to other parts of the Middle East. Fourth, both Palestinians and Kurds suffer oppression from occupying powers, and they have historically shown solidarity with each other's struggles. Turkey and Israel share a similar colonial and ruthless approach to the main other ethnic group over which they attempt to maintain control. Both deny basic rights and freedoms, including the right of self-determination. Both are quick to brand any and all resistance as terrorism, and to use this to justify brutal suppression. Both have no qualms about extending their classification of terrorists to include a whole population, and subjecting that population to collective punishment, including destroying homes and displacing long-established communities. Both carry out aggressive invasions on the pretense of defence. Statements put out by Presidents Erdogan and Netanyahu are almost interchangeable if you just swap Kurds with Palestinians. Historically, there was strong mutual support between the PKK and leftist groups in the PLO. The Palestinians helped train the PKK guerrillas, and 13 PKK guerrillas died fighting against the Israeli occupation of Lebanon. Connections are being kept up by the Kurdish freedom movement more generally. Leyla Khalid of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the PFLP, is a supporter of the pro-Kurdish leftist People's Democratic Party, the HDP, now the Dem Party, and draws parallels between the Palestinian and Kurdish struggles and between the oppression that both peoples face. At the HDP's 2018 Congress, she condemned Turkey's invasion of Afrin, And the following year, she visited hunger-striking MP Leyla Guven and supported the hunger strikers' call for an end to the isolation of Abdullah Öcalan. At the same time, and this is my fifth point, there is pressure to destroy Kurdish-Palestinian solidarity, a destruction that would only benefit the oppressors. While Erdogan pretends to be a friend of the Palestinians, Zionists pretend to be friends of the Kurds. Zionists are also betraying everything that is happening now as a response to the 7th of October attack by Hamas, and not as part of a 75-year history of Zionist settler colonialism, 56 years of Israeli occupation of Gaza and the West Bank, and 16 years of Israel's blockade that turned Gaza into a vast concentration camp. Then, led by Netanyahu, they are insisting that Hamas is equivalent to ISIS, which they are not. Hamas came to control Gaza because Israel refused to work honestly with the older secular Palestinian organizations, reneging on every agreement that the Palestinians conceded to. They undermined the PLO and destroyed their credibility, and at the same time, they encouraged the growth of Hamas as a way to implement their own policy of divide and rule. Abdullah Öcalan warned that Turkey is attempting to create similar destructive divisions among the Kurds through promotion of the far-right Kurdish Islamist group Hudapa. Hamas is an Islamist organization. They don't support the idea of the separation of religion and politics, but believe that all of life, including politics, should be informed by religion and in conformity with religious law. In addition, and this is a separate issue, they condone attacks on Israeli civilians as a method of struggle. However, no one can genuinely compare life in Gaza with life under ISIS. By contrast, legitimate comparisons can be and are made between life in Israel-Palestine and life under South African apartheid, or even life in 1930s Germany. And Netanyahu's Zionism builds its support through a brutal distortion of Judaism that is being used to justify the murder of Palestinian children. As cannot be repeated too often, opposing genocide is a fundamental human duty and does not imply support for Hamas. We should be seriously worried about the growth of politics dictated by religion, any religion, though the extent of Palestinian support for this is unknown and currently unknowable. And, irrespective of the contested details of what happened on the 7th of October, we must also condemn all attacks that target civilians, which cross a fundamental ethical red line. We won't draw people away from Hamas by keeping silent on the cause of Palestinian freedom and even Palestinian survival, because we don't like Hamas's ideology and methods. And lastly, and this time positively, with its emphasis on peaceful coexistence through bottom-up democracy, the Kurdish freedom movement can provide a model for a different way of understanding and organizing society in this fractured, multi-ethnic region. Outsiders cannot specify how others choose to organize their lives, but as people look for a way out of this nightmare, they can be encouraged and emboldened by an example that has come out of Middle East society and has taken root where it might not have been thought possible. Informed by Öcalan's philosophy, the Democratic Autonomous Administration of Northern East Syria, Rojava, promotes a bottom-up democracy where decisions are made as close to where people live as possible, where women's rights are actively supported and patriarchal relations discouraged, and where care is taken to involve all ethnic groups in organisation at all levels. The administration recognises differences in culture and the importance of different cultures, and it enables people from those different cultures to work together. This week, in majority Arab Raqqa, the city that ISIS made their capital, women are loudly and publicly celebrating International Women's Day. The focus on coexistence contrasts with the ethnic nationalism promoted by nation states, which Ocalan argues are an intrinsically oppressive form of organisation. I am not a Kurd and cannot presume to speak for the Kurdish community. I speak only as a social scientist and as a Jew who has long recognised Zionism as a colonial and racist project and protested against it, as many Jews have done since Zionism was invented at the end of the 19th century. Rather than ending the scourge of anti-Semitism, Zionism has fuelled new oppressions and now this unimaginable horror. Experience and reading have taught me that struggles against oppression in different places are strengthened by mutual support, while absence of support strengthens the oppressors, and that every time one oppressing nation gets away with impunity, it encourages other oppressors. I have also noticed that the Kurdistan Communities Union, the umbrella body that includes the PKK and all the groups that follow Ocalan's philosophy, has expressed solidarity with the Palestinian struggle while condemning the methods of Hamas, and that there have been clear statements from the Dem Party, formerly the HDP, calling for real support for the Palestinian people in place of Erdogan's hypocrisy. As they both point out, the Kurdish movement, inspired by Ocalan, has a unique contribution to make to any future resolution of Middle East politics through the model of different communities working together. The movement has been attempting to put Ocalan's ideas into practice in northern East Syria and sees this as an example for the whole of Syria, for the Middle East and beyond. But it is an example that risks being lost and forgotten in the ongoing power